The following program is rated M for a mature audience. It contains coarse language.
Welcome to the Well Hung Podcast, where we reach into the well of life and bring you the gems of the week, from news to pop culture. Now, here are your hosts, Diana and Nate.
Hi, Diana.
Hey, Nate. What's going on?
Happy birthday.
Oh, shit. That's right. What's good? Oh, yeah. It's my birthday.
Yeah, it is.
Hey. Which birthday? You know, Kate, I actually just got out of the car, and the DJ on the radio was like, yeah, Katy Perry has a new song. This is all for the birthday. And I guess it's called Birthday or some shit. I didn't listen to it, but I'd love. Oh, this is it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was ready for you.
Oh, shit. Oh, because that's my girl.
I got your stuff ready for you.
Yeah, dude. I'm getting old. Fucking hell.
We're all getting old. That's how it works.
I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling this old thing.
The other option is dying. So I'll take getting older.
Oh, dude. I went to 102.5 Live, and my friend's stepsister, she's 18, right? I need to stop. I need to have an age limit of where, like, of who I hang out with. But I wasn't trying to holler at her. It's different.
Let me explain this to you. This is what I used to do. My rule used to be, I had to keep it to people that I could have gone to high school with. So that gives you 4 years. And as you get a little older, you can expand it out and grow it. Then it became people who are old enough to rent a car on their own. That was like my dating rules.
Dude, my dating rule was like, it was to the point where it was like, all right, because my birthday is May 12th. So like anyone born after May 12th is not going to cut it. Like the last girl I dated, she was June, and I thought, I was like, she doesn't reach the limit, but I'm going to let this slide. And horrible, horrible fucking decision. So I had this rule, like, no one younger. And then I met the 18-year-old girl who hopefully doesn't listen to this podcast.
No, I'm sure she doesn't. She probably listens until she hears about Katy Perry.
Yeah.
And then she'll be like, oh my God.
No, but yeah, so that kind of fucked things up. But anyway, so we're at this concert, the 102.5 Live concert, and I think Little John was playing some song by the Fugees. It was either Lauryn Hill's song, Can't Take My Eyes, or I'm pretty sure it was Killing Me Softly, right?
They all start to run alike to you now?
Well, I had a great time at the show. So what happened was...
Understood.
So I was like, yeah, you probably don't remember the song. She was doing pretty good. Like, she knew TLC, No Scrubs, like all that, but like... This song came on. She's like, yeah, it's because I'm not a lesbian. I'm like, no, bitch. This has nothing to do with being gay. This is an age thing, you little shit.
Wow.
I just went off on her.
She's awful on multiple levels.
Oh, my God. She's fucking...
She's an 18-year-old. They're awful. That's what they're supposed to be.
Oh, my God.
When you were 18, I guarantee you were awful. I was awful.
When I was 18, I was weird. It's funny, like, I've been hanging out with a lot of friends from high school and middle
school.
Boy,
you've changed.
Like, you know, like, some people are like, oh, kind of the same. No, I'm surprised these people gave me a second chance to hang out with me now. Like, I was such a little shit back then. And so, like, even my friends from high school, they're in college even, they're like, dude, yeah, when we heard you're doing comedy, we couldn't believe it because who you were back then. There's no way that person would have done comedy.
Hold on. Because it's your birthday.
Yeah, fuck, man. Oh, God, fucking birthdays. Yeah, so, you know, it's never too late to send me a gift going on the Amazon tab.
Oh, you want to do the plug? Yeah, you know where you're listening to the show right now on NateDarlingShow.com? Right up above us, there's a Shop Amazon tab. You click that, it brings you right to Amazon. Buy Diana a gift. Buy yourself a gift. Buy a gift for a stranger. Whatever you like to do. It doesn't matter because it saves you money. It helps support the show and it doesn't cost you a dime extra.
Exactly. And, you know, it's the gift that keeps on giving. You give me a gift and you give a gift to the show. Or you can give a gift. Whatever. I'd like presents. That's what I'm going to buy. Yeah. I don't know. I didn't really do anything. I kind of was just like, I want to be antisocial. So all I do is just like fucking stay on my phone and computer and look at weird stories.
Okay. So that's
and watch TV like that. I didn't actually see this episode yet. Did you watch the SNL episode?
I have not watched SNL yet, but there's quite a bit of hubbub from the May 3rd episode. A lot of criticism for slavery jokes that happened during a Weekend Update segment with Leslie Jones. Let's take a listen to exactly what happened so we can decide for ourselves.
This week, Lupita Nyong'o was named the most beautiful person in the world by People magazine. Here with her thoughts is our in-house image expert, Leslie Jones.
Hello, everybody. I wanted to come out here tonight and congratulate Lupita on winning People's Most Beautiful Person. And I agree that she is very beautiful. But for me, personally, I'm waiting for them to put out the most useful list. You know what I'm saying? Because that's where I'm going to shine.
The most useful?
That's what I said, you delectable Caucasian. You a question. If you walked in a club and you saw me and Lupita standing at the bar, who would you pick?
Wow.
Yeah, I know. You would pick Lupita.
Wow.
But let me ask you this. If you was in the parking lot and three Crips is about to whoop your ass, who you gonna pick then?
I would pick you.
You're damn right you would. And that's my point. The way we view black beauty has changed. Look at me. See, I'm single right now. But back in the slave days, I would have never been single. I'm 6 feet tall and I'm strong, Colin. Strong! I mean, look at me. I'm a mandingo.
Leslie, you're not saying you'd rather be a slave,
no,
right?
No, that is not what I'm saying. I do not want to be a slave. Hell, I don't like working for you white people right now. And y'all pay me. I'm just saying that back in the slave days, my love life would have been way better. Master would have hooked me up with the best brother on the plantation. And every 9 months, I'd be in the corner having a super baby. Every 9 months, I'd just be in the corner just popping them out, just Shaq, Kobe, LeBron, Kimbo Slice,
Sinbad.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying I would be the number one slave draft pick. All of the plantations would want me. I'd be on television like LeBron announcing which plantation I was gonna go to. I would be like, I'd like to take my talents to South Carolina. I do believe that there's gonna be a lot of opportunities there for me. Now, I can't even get a brother to take me out for a cheap dinner. I mean, damn, can a bitch get a beef bowl? Leslie Jones, everybody.
So that's the whole thing. It's in its entirety.
I think it's great, like, how the first, when she mentioned the slavery thing, the audience, you could hear, like, uncomfortable white people trying to, like, because they're cute to laugh. You know?
Right.
And, like, you could just hear the uncomfortableness, and, like, I thought that was hilarious. I thought that was a brilliant bit. I see where she's coming from with it. Like, she is commenting on where the change of black beauty. It's like when, you know, people comment on, like, how, you know, thicker women. And there's memes about this shit. Mm-hmm. Thicker women are...
Oh, well, if there's memes, then it's okay.
Yeah, if there's memes, it's obviously fact. But it's true. Like, back in the day, like, bigger women were seen as more... Because they're more wealthy. It was a sign of wealth. Being bigger, so it was seen as more beautiful, as opposed to now it's like the whole anorexia thing, right? Like, this is just image, beauty image in general, like, through the years this has changed, and she is describing it as a change in terms for her and, like, slavery and culture, like, just it's a social comment, societal cultural commentary.
Maybe so, but the editor, the senior editor of Ebony.com, whose name is, and I apologize if I mess this up, Jamila Lemieux, tweeted, because that's what you do now, "This Leslie Jones person is an embarrassment at Ms. Mary Pryor. I'm so appalled right now."
Yeah.
So she was appalled. Although, I don't know if she falls into the category of being professionally outraged, like a Jesse Jackson or an Al Sharpton would,
I think it's like there are, I think Leslie Jones, right? She's the comic that did this.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's brilliant. I think she did it very well. For someone to get offended, but I see where they can, but the only way that I'm seeing it's like, okay, they just mentioned slavery. Like, that's why they're offended. Like, really? Like, that's why you're going to be upset?
Well, you were talking about people going back and, you know, the 18-year-old not getting the references. When I was a kid, Jimmy the Greek was a football guy. He was on TV, and he's this old Greek dude, thus the name. And he was on the Sunday pregame shows, and he would pick the games. He'd be the one like, oh, I pick the New York Giants are going to win this week, whatever. He came out on TV at one point and said something akin to what she was saying about how slave owners bred their slaves to so on and so forth. He was immediately fired and ostracized for it. Now, granted, he's a white guy, and this was the 80s that this happened. So this isn't that far, but this is really, this is satire. What she's doing is satire.
It's satire. I love satire. Mm-hmm. I think that's like my weak spot. That's like any satire, like social satire that's done properly. Don't get it twisted, okay? If you try and you fail miserably, I think it's a horrible idea. But I love satire. I think it's a brilliant way to comment on something and make people think. And it's great. And like, I can't speak on that because I didn't hear it, but like, I don't think if he's just making, like, if he's stating facts as facts, I don't think he should have been fired. But again, if he was referencing something out of context and like just wanted to throw it in or like saying something about it that was inappropriate. Sorry, I have fucking allergies. Fucking Sacramento. That's why I hate being born in May. Everything's too fucking nice and pretty. I don't agree with that at all. But like, yeah, for her to get shit. And like for that tweet, like they were really trying. That person was really trying to go after Leslie Jones. Like that Leslie Jones person. Asshole, you know who Leslie Jones is. Like she made a big fucking deal when she was casted on SNL. Like she, mm-hmm. everyone was so proud. Like African-American community was so proud of her. Like all this. And they had every right. It was great that she was a great representative for, mm-hmm. you know, African-American community and being on SNL. That's wonderful. But for her to fucking say, oh, that person, like, asshole, what was the, like, head publisher of Ebony magazine? All of a sudden, you don't want to claim her?
She's a senior editor. There's a longer piece that's written on ebony.com if you go to May 5th, Cinco de Mayo. It's an entertainment and culture, film, TV and film. And the headline is, once again, no one is laughing at SNL. And so she talks about the... Here's the opening line of the article. I hate to say it. Be careful what you wish for as it relates to demanding diversity in entertainment. Alas, it seems that once again, it's been proven that your skin folk ain't always your kin folk. This time, it's grossly offensive skit about slave rape that's got many of us shaking our heads.
And slave rape?
That's the article.
Now,
at the end, they have some tweets from Leslie Jones defending herself, where Leslie Jones tweeted, where's the rape, idiots? I said nothing about rape, yeah. You fucking morons. I was talking about being matched to another strong brother. And again, not being raped by white man, what part of this joke that wasn't true? I would have been used for breeding straight up. That's my reality. In fact, that is reality. That's a historical reality,
yeah.
of the way things were done. It's satire. Now, you can go ahead and not find it funny and not find the humor in it, and I get that. But to come out and just completely... But you know what? The one thing that this bit did is people are talking about it.
That's what it's supposed to do. Like, she's fucking brilliant in my mind. Like, she brought up a way... Like, I thought it was funny. I mean, we can play the fucking podcast back. I laughed. You know, like, I thought it was funny. And, like, so she did it brilliantly where people are thinking about it. Like, they're talking about it. Like, is this appropriate? Is it not? What was her point? And, like... It went from image of beauty to rape. Like, what the fuck is wrong with... I'm, like, kind of upset. I'm boycotting Ebony magazine. I'm sorry. Like, you guys are way too fucking sensitive.
You've lost a Korean lesbian Ebony magazine.
Leslie, I know I'm your target audience.
Right. Leslie Jones went on to tweet. She did the multiple tweet thought process. She continued, and it saddens me that black people, that's in capitals, bitch and moan about the most stupid shit. I'm a comic that it's my job to take things and make them funny. To make you think, especially the painful things. Why are you all so mad? This joke was written from the pain that one night I realized black men don't really fuck with me, and why am I single? And that in the slave days, I would have always had a man because of breeding.
So, she's that's exactly what comedy's supposed to do, and that's what I think. She's smart. I think
she's brilliant.
She's brilliant, and she's fucking awesome to put herself out there. Like, she. Putting her, like, being vulnerable on such a public forum like that. I think that's so admirable. And for someone to fucking knock on it just because they mentioned slavery and then kind of go off on, like, oh, yeah, she was talking about, like, Oh my God. This is the thing about people that bother me. Like, I don't like, I understand being politically correct and being sensitive to others or caring. You know, there is a line. I will agree. Like, I personally, I have my own lines. They might not be the same as other comics, but I do have my own lines. And, but this is kind of like, dude, you're being really too sensitive. And she was talking about like how she's going to push the envelope even further. Like, I'm fucking excited. Like, I'm probably going to start watching SNL religiously to see what she does.
For the next 2 weeks until they go into their summer hiatus.
It's a touche.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I get where both sides are coming from, because there is the quote-unquote classy people. No matter what race you are, there's always the classy people that look down their noses at satire and humor and being crude about things and whatever. And because they look at things from a different perspective and they think other people should look at things from that perspective. So I get where she's coming from, but it's just very interesting that there is so much head-to-head fighting about it. That this is something that should have brought up a much bigger discussion, not just in society in general, but in the black community specifically, about the issues that are going on, because she's talking about something that came from a personal point of view. And this is how jokes are constructed. Jokes 101. This is how good jokes are constructed. You take something that is affecting you personally, and then you go, how does that work in the construct of the world around me? And how does that work in the construct of history? And you tie them all together into a bigger concept, which she did absolutely brilliantly. It was raw. It was rough. It was uncomfortable, but that's really what good satire is.
I thought I'm still like amazed. I haven't heard something that good on SNL in a while.
Certainly nothing that raw.
Yeah, like it was very, I mean, I love SNL because they do the social satire every now. Sometimes I think it's like they just do it too. They go for the easy shots.
Mm-hmm.
But like she really went deep, and that's what I fucking love and I admire, and I'm so, like, kudos, applause. I think that's great, and it's disappointing that this is dividing a community, like any community in general. I don't think issues like this should divide it. They should like come together and like discuss it. It is a huge issue. Like, yeah, the image of, especially for women in general. Like, mm-hmm. This is obviously very specific, but it's like an issue that should be discussed in culture and across cultures. Like the image of beauty, that's always been something that's been discussed. I mean, if you go on Facebook, you'll have, or Instagram, you'll have like, yeah, it's be fit or be proud of your body no matter what shape and size, do this, do that. Like, where people are always trying to change the image of beauty, and she was actually like questioning it from a historical point. Like, there's nothing wrong with what she did. Absolutely nothing wrong with my. I get the other side. You're right. There's always those people. They're always going to look down and very kind of pretentiously look, you know, have their own opinions. But I understand if that's their only reason for hating on her, that upsets me, because I don't like, there's one thing I don't stand for, and that's people that think they're better than someone else or pretentious people. I hate pretentious people with a passion.
Now, what about the point that some might bring up that slavery is something that's incredibly serious and should never be joked about? What about that?
I think that's the thing about satire. It's not necessarily I put satire in a different category. Mm-hmm. It's more something that is thought provoking, and it does it it introduces it in a way that's non-threatening. It's like when you get in an argument with a person, you know how you're supposed to be like, you use certain words or you avoid certain words, mm-hmm. because, you know, you talk about, I feel this, not like you did this, you know, it's because when you attack someone, defenses goes up. And I think what's beautiful about satire, you present it in a way that's either so obscure, like Jonathan Swift, when he did that piece on Ireland. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
I don't recall. Enlighten me.
Oh, he did this piece about like they were going in Ireland, they were going through like a potato famine or something like that. And he's mm-hmm. like, well, why don't we just eat their babies? We already have too many people, obviously, if we're going through a famine right now. So like, we'll eat the babies. You could use their skins for this. Their meat's tender. Like, it's obviously a joke.
Yeah, it's obviously
because it was so out there. But people were like, oh my God, he's serious. He's a cannibal, like all this. But it was obviously a joke, and it's more thought provoking. But I think when you present an idea in such a manner that's either humorous or obscure or some way that's less threatening than if you were to just bring it up on the news or like certain different mediums of media or communication. I think that's what it is. So I put social satire as something different. So I don't think you can. I don't think any topic's really taboo if you do it with a purpose.
Right.
I think if, you know, like death, if you're just trying to make an easy joke out of it, I don't think it's appropriate. That's my personal rape. If you're just making an easy joke, I don't think it's appropriate. But if you're doing it in a way that's making people think like why, like what's going on right now because of that. Does that make sense?
No, I see where you're coming from with the whole thing. And I think they addressed it in a way that, to get back to that, when he interjected that one little line where he interjected, you're not saying you'd want to be a slave. And she's like, no, of course not. I hate working for you white people now. That set up the construct of, no, I'm not advocating slavery. I'm not saying slavery was a good thing. I'm not reminiscing about it in a longing way. I'm just saying this is how it was. And that is, there is a big construct to what's going on there. And I think it got missed.
Yeah.
Because like, that was necessary.
Yeah. She saved her ass with that one comment and like that one joke, like, you guys pay me and I don't like that was so fucking great. She saved her ass to be like, all right, now that's out of the way, listen to my point. Like, she really set up everything beautifully in that bit.
Yeah,
every point was hit in my mind.
Yeah, whoever wrote that part in, that was a necessary part of the joke.
Yeah, that was so necessary.
Because if that's not in there, then I can see where you would have a huge problem
it
and go, oh, why is she's advocating slavery now? No, it's very clear. And if you cop, that's the danger of catching part of things. I mean, you miss the whole construct of stuff. I mean, hell, the TV show Three's Company was a number one sitcom in the 70s, went on for years, and the entire show was based on this. Somebody overheard part of a conversation. There was a misunderstanding, yeah. And then hilarity ensued. It's like that, but in reverse. Now outrage ensues because everybody gets outraged immediately.
I think they're just upset. Like, yeah, they're mentioning slavery and that kind of upset in a lighthearted manner. Like the whole question you brought up to me, like, oh, it's such a serious thing. And then after movies like, you know, 12 Years a Slave came out, like, you know, stuff like that. It's not a great thing. It's obviously not
a
great
way to go out
thing.
On a limb. Slavery, not a great thing. Diana Hong. Comedian.
Covering my ass. I'm covering my ass. That's how I cover my ass. But like, I think it's like, you can comment on history. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, I think
history
well.
Is fair game. In my opinion, history is fair game when you're trying to fucking prove a point.
Unless it's the Holocaust.
Then that's just,
but
everyone set themselves up for that one. I'm not
right. But if a Jewish comedian found a way to not and found a way to sort of make a construct like that, I don't think you could get outraged about it. I'm sure there would be plenty of Jewish people who would be outraged by it. So I don't think that would change. But here's the thing. If people don't react to what you do as a comedian, then I think you've failed.
I agree.
Whether positively or negatively, unless they're yelling yeah or oh my god, I can't believe you did that, then you're just wallpaper. And she's definitely not wallpaper with this bit.
Oh, she's like, I fucking admire her so much. I think I'm gonna fucking name drop her and just be like, who's your favorite comic? Leslie Jones. I did. This is the first time I really heard it, but like this was enough for me to be like, damn, like I like the way comics minds work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really enjoy that. Like, Ty Rivera, I saw him one time at Sacramento Punchline, and I was just like blown away by how this guy's mind was.
Go ahead and name who's your favorite comedian?
Cheryl the Soccer Mom.
Who?
What the fuck was that?
Who? I'm sorry. I was setting you up for the other one. Yeah, Cheryl the Soccer Mom's awesome.
Yeah, Cheryl's cool. I mean, there's so many great comics in SAC, and you're right. Like, you got to push them. But I think the fun part, for me, the fun part is, like, writing and writing material that really gets people, like, social satire. Like, I wish I can, sit down and write more and try to write more pieces on that, but I've been busy. But that's, like, that's the fun part for me. It's, like, picking something and kind of going around it and try to see how does that connect to me, the past, the future, the present. Like, I think that's the beautiful thing about comedy, that we can do it in a way that's funny, that makes people think and that they're willing to think.
Mm-hmm. And if you ever see an improv show, you know, where it's made up on the spot.
Yeah.
That's what the improvisers are doing. If this is true, then this is true. If this is true, then this is true. And that's where, if you go to see an improv show live and you're like, where the fuck did they come up with this stuff? That's how it works. That's the construct of it. If this is true in your world, then this would be true in your world. And then you just sort of build on that. And it's the same thing when you're constructing a joke. It's just, instead of acting out crazy, wacky scenes with no set decoration, you're telling a story.
Yeah, I think that's what stand-up is, like what comedy is. And I think it sucks that this had to divide a community, especially a female. I mean, I'm a feminist-ish sort of person, and I don't think we should argue about things like this that was missing. The thing that gets me is that it missed the whole fucking point. It missed the whole point entirely.
A woman missed the point.
You fucking dick.
You set that up so brilliantly for me. Thank you so much.
Oh my God, who's not 18? Anyways.
You set that up for me so perfectly.
I did. Sometimes I just...
I could not resist.
I amaze
sorry.
Myself sometimes how well I just hand you things. It's my birthday, and I'm giving you presents, Nate.
I appreciate the gift. I really do. Thank you. Thank you very much. So, anyway, happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you. That's the first happy birthday I've gotten today, so it's nice to be acknowledged.
Well, yeah. I mean, we do peel back the curtain. We do record a week early, so.
Oh, damn it, Nate. Damn it.
But when you're hearing this, it's your birthday.
Yeah, so you can write on my wall or whatever.
Blow up her phone with texts and well wishes.
So my digits are 9...
I don't know if I'd give up my digits.
No, I would not.
We don't have that many listeners, but still, I don't think it's a great idea.
I don't think it's a good idea either.
If you go to the website, there is a number you can call and leave a message for the podcast.
Oh, that'd be cute. Or you guys can add me on Facebook. I always like pretending I'm more popular than I really am.
Yeah, let me just quickly look up the number here. It's 818-861-6283. You can leave a message of happy birthday for Diana.
And then we're going to, if we get any messages, we'll play them on the next episode. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people don't want to because they're like, I don't want to hear my voice.
Oh, okay, fine. We won't play them on the next episode, but I would greatly appreciate it so I could feel love because I've had a shitty fucking day. So
that's going to do it for this episode of the Well Hung Podcast. And because it's your birthday, we're going out with another song called Birthday.
Hey.
It's Selena Gomez.
Oh, I was going to say, are you playing 50 Cent or Selena Gomez?
Oh, no. We're going to go with Selena Gomez.
Yes. Dude, she's oddly attractive. Whatever.
That's what Bieber says.
Oh, shit. Hey, Bieber, call me.
All right.
Maybe.
New Nate Darling Show is Wednesday and Friday. And another new Well Hung Podcast next Monday. Y'all have a great week. Bye-bye.
Have a good one.